Blog Talk Radio.
How it's going down, man. I'm so glad to be here. Now, hold on. Did y'all hear the music in the background? I already know y'all did, because if y'all heard me, then you had to hear the music. So check this out. Y'all can call into the show if you want to call into the show. Well, we about to get into this whole thing for the next hour, and we're going to go full speed ahead. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun752. So let's do it. Urban Therapy with Sun752, and this is Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and today, on this glorious Saturday, sunny but a little chilly Saturday afternoon, we are talking about now when they touch you, you feel nauseous. Have you ever been there? Has anybody that you were romantically involved with ever made you so upset, so angry, so intrinsically, they just ruined your world to the point where you saw them do something that disgusted you so bad that the thought of them curling up to you, cuddling up to you, trying to be with you, trying to get close to you, trying to make up with you, trying to get cool with you, just makes you want to Earl. And you might not even want to Earl on them. Maybe they make you feel that's it. Now, you know, I imagine that there are a few ways that this can happen, and we're going to explore those ways today. If you would like to call into the show and give your two cents, if you want to holler, if you want to make your voice heard, if you want to tell your story, if you want to come at my neck because you feel like I'm giving out false information, I invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's a number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199. So, now when they touch you, you feel nauseous. How does this happen? Can it happen because somebody cheated on you? Could it happen in other ways? One of the ways that we probably think about initially is probably somebody cheating on us. Somebody exercising infidelity in a union where we stressed and agreed upon exclusivity. For a lot of people, yeah, that will or has made them sick to their stomach. I've heard people call being cheated on ultimate betrayal. Now, for my purposes, I can't look at it that way. When I think about something being the ultimate betrayal, I'm thinking about something that will change my life really physically. Like, you know, if you set my... Man, I'm almost ready to knock on wood for this. Let's say you were supposed to be a good friend of mine, an ally of mine, somebody that I relied on, somebody that I depended on, somebody that I really considered to have had my back. And you do something like set my people up to get hurt or set my people up to get deleted, to get unalived. To me, that would be the ultimate betrayal. That's not something that I could see myself getting all over. That's not something I could see myself getting past. Like, let me get this straight. I brought you into my life as a family member. So I made you my family. And you got my family member murked. I got a story for y'all. And it's funny, when we do these shows, things that I haven't thought about in a long time start to, you know, conjure up in my mind. And I realize, like, damn, man, I've seen a lot of different looks and scenarios. But there was this man who worked for us. This is all the way back in the late... I want to say the late 90s, maybe stemming from the mid 90s. You know, I was a landlord. So, you know, we used to buy houses, rent them out, rent out apartments, duplexes, triplexes, single family dwellings, rooms, all that. And there was this man who was living in one of our rooms. Excuse me. He was living in one of our rooms, and He eventually started working for us. But before he started working for us, I believe it was before he started working for us. And I got pretty close to this man. Well, you know, he was a drinker, a smoker. You know, he just kind of did his thing. He was an older guy. And I was in my 20s at the time.
you know, early 30s at the time. But at the time of this incident, I was in my 20s, late 20s. Well, what happened was him and a bunch of friends of his from around the way, they were drinking in the house that I was renting to him. And something, a guy that worked for us was chilling with him. And one thing led to another. I wasn't there. I don't know all of the details to the story, but a guy that was working for us wind up killing his brother. Yeah. In the house. So I don't know, you know, if an argument ensued, or I don't know what the situation was about, but the guy wind up killing his brother. I don't remember if he shot him or stabbed him or whatever. And he went to court. Now, by this time, the guy was working for us. Both of them were working for us. The guy went to court, fought the case, and beat it. It was found that it was self-defense that he killed the guy's brother. It was in self-defense. That's what the court had. And you can't say that the guy had no high power lawyer. He ain't had no money like that. So it was just evidently people must have come to court and said, no, that's not how it happened. You know, yeah, he killed the boy, but he had to. It was in self-defense. The guy started it, well, however it went. So I imagine how the guy whose brother got killed, my man, that was my man by this time. I didn't like the boy at first. I didn't like the old head at first. I grew to love the old head. He was a good guy. But when that man got out, when he beat that case and he got out and he came back to my dad and asked for his job back, and on the strength of my man, my dad was like, you know, my dad always played the diplomacy card. So he wasn't going to tell the man like, nah, I don't, you know, my pop wasn't involving himself like that. He wasn't there. He don't know what happened. He really didn't have any vested interest in either one of them. They were tenants and employees. But my dad found another way not to employ the guy. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I imagine that the feelings of that man walking after murking his brother and him seeing that guy walk around free while his brother is no longer with us probably made him sick to his stomach. And he probably looked at that as the ultimate betrayal. I thought we was cool. I thought we was people. I thought we looked out for each other. I thought we had each other's back. And you murked my brother, which makes me want to murk you. But I can't do that. I can't do that because then I'll be in the place that you should be, and I probably won't be able to get free. So that situation probably made my man sick to his stomach. As a matter of fact, I believe that he told me that, like, oh man, this is too much. This came at the right point in my life. I guess God or somebody is trying to show me something, teach me something, because if this was years ago, I would have handled this. This would have already been a done deal. I'm bringing up that story to show how it can be more than just infidelity that might make you sick to your stomach because of the actions of somebody. You know what I mean? There can be some betrayal types of situations that might not only make you sick, but they might make you violent as well, unapologetically so. Like, I don't see no other way to handle this. My man was stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's something that he wanted to do, and he felt like he had to do. Imagine the spiritual duty he felt like he owed to his brother. Like, this is my brother. I grew up with him. We was together. We was together in our older years, kicking it. Care Bear says, if deletion was on the table, nausea would be the last of their worries. Okay. Stacey White says, I have to leave vengeance in God's hands. Man, I don't know. I'm thinking that somebody that I was cool with, loved, or whatever, deleted or unalived one of my family members that I loved, I would have to leave probably forgiveness in God's hands. Forget about the vengeance part. I'ma handle that. But the forgiveness part, I'ma need God for that. Boy, I hope there's a heaven for a G. I hope that there's a heaven for a G. But let's keep it moving. Let's keep on talking. Like Care Bear says, her nausea situation came from infidelity. You know, expectations are real things. When you expect for your life to go a certain way, when you expect the conduct of certain people to be a certain thing and to be a certain type of way, and when you have been promised and you have seen the fulfillment of a promise for a time, but then you watch that promise start to wither away. Here's my thing. If you've ever gotten to the point where the thought of somebody touching you or the physical touch of somebody makes you nauseous, did that happen all in one fell swoop, or was there a process? Like, you started getting queasier and queasier as you observed a person's actions or as time started to go on. That's what I want to know. And y'all can tell me what y'all want to know, too. Let's get into this thing, man. It's Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We are talking about, now, when they touch you, you feel nauseous. Now, when they touch you, you feel nauseous. You know, what has to happen? What kind of feelings have to surround you for you to start feeling nauseous when somebody touches you? Once again, y'all can call in to the show. 319-527-6199. If you wanna add something to this conversation, if you have something to say, if you have an experience, if you just wanna holler, if you wanna make sure that it's a real thing that you can call in now, call in 319-527-6199. 319-527-6199. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you up by the last four digits of your telephone number. So let's get it popping. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, we're going to take the caller with the last numbers 4828. All right. Caller with the last numbers 4828. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Oh, good afternoon. Okay. So while you were talking, you asked whether or not it happened in one fell swoop. And in hindsight, I can say yes, but at the time, I didn't realize it was happening in one fell swoop, you know, because I didn't know what was, like, I hadn't placed all of my feelings about the situation. Mine was due to infidelity.
Okay.
And And so, you know, you're sorting through the anger and all of these other feelings. And I didn't know that I was going to be feeling nauseous. He had always been a great lover. So that, like, that wasn't the issue. So when it did happen, it happened all at once, and it was like done. Never touched him again after that.
Mm.
I didn't realize just how much the emotional effect had taken toll on me and manifested itself, you know, physically until that day, you know. So,
okay. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, when you really think about it, this whole concept is very deep. You know, people might kick it around and play around with it, like this is not as big as it seems. But you know, there's no accounting for what you've been promised, and there's no accounting for what your expectations are. And you know, when you really feel like you and somebody else are on the same page, when you feel like y'all are in sync and in agreement with the way that you two are and the things that you share, I think it's only right that your expectations can be that they will fulfill the obligations that they have agreed upon by the two of you. It's not out of bounds.
Right.
So, but I have to ask this. For people who have experienced nauseousness because of infidelity, was it the emotional part that has broken down and made you feel that level of disappointment, or is it the actual physical act? Because, you know, I've heard men say that they would feel sick to their stomach if they ever found out that their girl had fucked a nigga, especially raw dog. You know, dudes got this thing about another nigga shooting up their place. You understand what I'm saying?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. You know, a lot of men feel this way, and they don't have no reservations about expressing it. Like, yo, you let a nigga nut all up in you? Wow.
Yeah. For me, it wasn't the act. It wasn't the act. For me, it was trust, you know. It was something that had happened before. And it happened again and then again, and it was just like, wow, like, I can't trust your word. I need to be able to trust your word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, past that act, that happened. Okay, let's chuck it. Can I trust what you say? And if I can't trust what you say, like, that's a problem. That's a way bigger problem than that instance, you know, when you were with somebody else.
Yeah. So. That so is the lack of trust or the diminishing of trust, is that enough to cause nausea?
Apparently it was, because it was like, if I'm with you, I respect you. I'm not going to be with someone that I don't respect. And so if we've had multiple instances where you have betrayed my trust and my confidence that I have in you as a person, not just my partner, but as a friend as well. You know, I start, respect goes, starts to, you know, diminish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I don't, not for nothing, I don't even want to have sex with somebody who I don't respect. So here we are. We find ourselves, like, I had never been in that situation like that, a situation like that before. So I had no idea that I was going to respond that way. You know? So when it happened, it happened. And I literally said, like, after I brushed my teeth and everything, like this can never happen again. Like, this is done. We weren't even together as a couple when that happened. It was, like, after we had broken up. And, you know, you try to go back for one more time or two more times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, no more. We couldn't even do that one last time. So.
Well, if you don't mind, I want to ask you about a couple of other scenarios if you have the time.
I don't mind.
You know, a lot of families have had to deal with not just infidelity, but sexual assault and incest. So we hear all the time stories about people that we've grown up with, people that were in our families, people that we've known, met, have gotten to know, have been introduced to. We've heard somewhere in our lives about how in a family, a father or a father figure or, you know, supposed father figure was touching the girls in the family. You know what I mean? Like,
We
probably all heard the story of the mom's boyfriend who was playing very dirty with the little girls in the family, or at least a little girl. And we've heard stories of how the mom didn't believe the daughter when she told her about the man, even when the mom knew that it was true, even when the mom found out that it was true. Now, in my heart of hearts, I'm thinking that just my daughter, especially a young daughter who didn't have any reason to lie, any compulsion to deceive, may not have even understood the gravity of what she was saying, you know what I mean, or reporting.
Yeah.
Just that thought alone, I would think, as a woman, would probably make me sick to my stomach seeing this motherfucker like, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's...
Yeah.
You know, all that lying that they do, no, I would never do that. I don't know why she said that. All that breaking down, crying, all of that defending, all of that, you know, people always against me and I don't know why, but I would never lying through his fucking teeth. The accusation alone would probably do it for me. You understand? So,
yeah.
How have some women managed not to get sick to their stomach when they knew that it was a possibility that it was true? Or when they knew that it was true? How did
you mean
that
as a mother?
As a mother and as a woman to a man, you know what I mean? Like, that's my husband or that's my boyfriend and he did this shit. And maybe she's all caught up with him and in love, but how would that not turn your stomach to know that your daughter had been through something like that?
Right.
Or your son.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Hello? Oh, sorry. Yeah. So unfortunately, I know one or two people who have gone through that. One where the mother didn't believe them, and the other where the mother blamed the daughter, you know, for whatever happened. And just from the outside looking in, because I know their mothers, you know, I can't say whether or not for sure whether or not they were nauseous. You know, I never saw evidence of it. What I saw evidence was you know, competition, jealousy, you know, that prevented them from even being able to support their daughters the way that they should have. And, you know, so unfortunately, there are other things at play that prevent them from having that reaction. And that's quite unfortunate. But yeah, it was like jealousy. It was more than them just being in love with that man. It was them being in love with that man, the level of possessiveness, the level of jealousy outweighed whatever they felt for their daughter and however they should have protected their child. So no, nothing that I saw said that they felt nauseous. Nothing that I saw. I don't know what went on when they were alone by themselves, but
right.
Like I said, I know the mothers and I know the daughters.
Well, how about this? Because I don't know if I've ever heard it flipped this way. If the alleged actions of your man doing that to your children doesn't turn your stomach, does the accusation of that man doing that by your kids, does that make them... Do your kids make you sick to your stomach to even conjure up this fabricated story? You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you honestly do not believe that your man did what they say he did, then how disgusted are you with your children that they would even attempt to try to put him on blast that way? Do your kids make you sick to your stomach? Like every time I
yes,
see
they
you,
did. Like, yes, they did. Isn't that something? What the daughters said that they did not make them sick to their stomach, but they appeared to be absolutely disgusted, their daughters, for the accusation. Oh, I can't even look at you, type stuff. And this is I witnessed that being
that's
like I can't even look at you.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even want to look at you. And a lifetime of sour behavior. That's the best way I can describe it is sour behavior, because they know it's not socially acceptable to behave a certain way. So, but you could tell from the scowl on their faces and the tone in their voices that they're still holding on to whatever. You know, negative feelings that they had from when the child told them what happened.
Too much.
Yeah. Too it's heavy. Much.
Yeah.
I think I do have a question for you. Like, I don't know anything about this particular situation, but you know, is it different if the using your scenario, if the accusation was from your man doing something to your son? Rather than your daughter.
You know, when it comes to child abuse, whether we're talking about physical, sexual, emotional, mental, like, I'm against this so much. I don't think that children should ever have to experience that. Because they never forget it. It lives with them forever. Whether they remember exactly how it happened, you know, step by step or not. You never really get past that. And it can shape your relationships for the rest of your life until you get therapy and finally get it worked out, you know? And by the time that happens for a lot of people, it's really too late. So I'm saying all of that to say this. Yeah, it would make me sick to my stomach to know that my son had to go through that, because young men aren't expected to have to endure that. I hate to note this double standard, but we expect that little girls are going to be touched inappropriately at some point in their lives. We don't expect that for young boys, and it happens with probably 80 to 90% of us too. And we're expected to not only get over it, but get past it, but not even remember it or bring it up again and not be affected by it. That's our expectation. Even by the ones who help us and defend us, we're expected to do that. So, yeah, if I found out that a friend of mine ever did that
to any youth associated with me. It wouldn't matter if they were male or female. We got to handle that. Because what we're not going to do is I'm not going to be sick to my stomach for the rest of my life over this shit. And the victim is not going to be victimized for the rest of their life as long as I can help them. So you got to pay. And you paying, whether it's physical or through the law, is not going to fix what you have broken. But the healing has to start somewhere. So whether it starts with me or whether it starts with somebody else or whether it starts with an inanimate object, it's got to start. We got to kick it off. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I appreciate that question because it's important that we look at that shit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, I know countless men that have gone through this shit. And when you find out that these things have happened to them, I don't care what kind of healthy relationships they have been able to form. It starts to make sense to you. Some of the things that they've done to do, it could be their hesitation to zip line or some shit like that. Be like, now I see why. His abuser was a zip liner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to, you know, stop the bull from zip lining because of that shit. You know what I mean? And he'll never zip line again. Guilty feet have got no... Anyway.
Okay. You going to start singing?
You know what I mean? My guilty feet have got no rhythm. But yeah, it's a terrible situation. But you know, I wanted to talk about different scenarios that can make you sick to your stomach. Like I said, seeing somebody hurt somebody, seeing somebody that you like or you love or you care about or you respect, seeing them abuse somebody or do somebody wrong that you love, that might make you sick to your stomach as well. And it might not even have anything to do with, it might not have anything to do with sexual abuse. It could be other things. When I see somebody teaching somebody wrong, and you know that if I witness an old head tell a young boy that it's a good thing for him to sell drugs, act like a fool, carry around a gun, and handle all his problems with violence, that makes me sick to my stomach. Like, are you fucking crazy? What? Whether you fuck up somebody's life through sexual abuse, physical abuse, or whether you fuck up their lives by telling them all of the wrong things to do and presenting those wrong things as being right, it remains the same thing. The results remain the same. That person has been done a disservice and now they fucked up because of you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Yep, I agree.
It's no a good look. It's no a good look.
I definitely agree. It's like watching somebody, watching an adult encourage a toddler or a preschooler, you know, to do, to dance or to mimic grown things. You know, like when I watch these videos where the adults, it's a, you know, a room full of adult males teaching a little boy. The boy looked like he's about four, waving around a real gun, you know, or, you know, dressing a little girl with full-on lip gloss, the shades and the little crop tops or off-the-shoulder tops and low-rise pants just for IG pictures because y'all think it's cute. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. That makes me sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Or encouraging a child to curse and act a fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, yo, what is she? A bitch? This stupid bitch? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you? Hmm. And everybody's sitting around laughing and shit.
Yeah. I'm like, that is not funny.
Yo, that'll stop me from coming around you with the quickness. But to be fair, the title of this show was, now the thought of them, well, now them touching you makes you sick to your stomach. So we have gone a little bit off script. But
my bad.
No, I mean, it's not your fault. I'm the one, you know, I mean, I kicked it off. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. The physical part of the mental part of thinking about somebody physically getting next to you and then making you sick to your stomach now because of something that they have done. It can be for other reasons that may not even be of their own doing. For example, what if your heart is not grounded in the right place? You know, like, for example, let's say you marry somebody for their financial capabilities. You married them for the money. Now, you knew you weren't physically attracted to them. But as long as your bills were being paid and you had shopping money left, you know what I mean? Maybe you opened all three holes for them. Go ahead, jump in. You may have had to accept later on that not only were they paid, but they became freakier and freakier the more they gave you, or the more the closer y'all got together and as a union, you know? So it was already a thing where you weren't physically attracted to them, but now the more they want to do it, the more it's making you feel bad about yourself. Like, yo, I've prostituted myself to have a house, a car, a bag, some jewelry. So the thought of them touching me again makes me feel more and more devalued, even though they're paying for it up front like I asked them to do in the beginning. But now I'm trying to, now my karma is all about me trying to feel better about myself, and now I'm blocked from being able to do it. I got this nigga coming home every day telling me to be undressed when I get there, when he gets here. Yeah.
It sounds disgusting.
Exactly. So it may have started off like, all right, fuck it. For, you know what I mean, for a few stacks. I didn't let niggas run up in me for less. That might be what she's thinking, like, shit. You know what I mean? I used to do, back in my whole days, which ended like last month, I was doing this for free, so I could definitely do this for some money. And now you done had like a little epiphany, and yeah, this is bad.
Mm-hmm. It's not even my situation, and I'm already nauseous. I can't even imagine.
It'd be like trying to get your libido up for a homeless person.
Oh.
And I ain't talking about somebody that just got evicted. I'm talking about the rest. You know what I mean? This nigga live on the ceiling.
You talk this about the homeless person with three locks in their hair because they haven't washed it.
This nigga live in a box over vent at a stoplight at an intersection. That's his fucking address. And you gotta fuck this nigga on some old Fear Factor shit.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And that might be what it feels like for your opportunistic ass to have delved into that. And you know what I mean? For you to have jumped in that box. Literally. Jumped in the box. That nigga paid for goods and services. These goods are too bad. I can't do no more. I can't
I can't serve these guns no more. Ain't no price enough for me. These goddamn guns.
Jumped in the box though. I can't.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, you know, like shit is rap. Shit is rap out here. You know what I'm saying? It's rap. But yeah. So yeah, everybody who feels sick to their stomach over somebody touching them is not always the good guy. Not always. It's a lot of trifling ass motherfuckers out here who have had to deal. Who've had to deal with the decisions that they've made.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that they deserve it?
Well, it's not up to me to say that they deserve it. Now, on a personal level, I judge motherfuckers all day. Yeah, that's what the fuck you get. But on a more grounded, do I want to say justice? Yeah, on a justice level and a more understanding level, I will say this. Well, I will ask this. Did they deserve the spoils that they got that got them to this place? Like, if they deserved or didn't deserve the car, the money, the gifts, the house, the conditions, what they either did or didn't deserve the way that they feel about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've done the right thing plenty of times and felt like shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah.
So why should I always feel bad about just the bad things that I've done? Yeah, you got to spread the ball around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have never helped that bitch-ass nigga. Should have done it. But I did. Now I got to deal. Now I got to deal with myself. You know what I mean? I got to deal with it.
I've never called somebody a bitch-ass nigga, so I wouldn't know.
Well, maybe one day you should try it. You know, for me, it's very liberating.
I think I'll try it today.
You know, it is. It's very liberating. Just find a person that you really can't stand and let it out. B-A-N. B-A-N. Oh, B-A-N. Oh, B-A-N. P-A-N. P-A-N. Oh, P-A-N. He's a pan. He's a pan.
Mm-hmm.
It is very liberating.
I'm about to start a whole new hashtag.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a real big advocate for talking poorly about people that you don't like. I mean,
why?
That's a lot better than being two-faced and talking bad about people that you do like.
Mm-hmm.
At least you got a reason for, you know, the other way around. So yeah. But no, yeah, we talk about somebody making you physically sick, physically ill, you know, by thinking of them or having them touch you.
Well, I have a question. Now, since we're talking about different scenarios, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
What about parents who maybe while they're going through depression or high stress situations where their kids coming to hug them makes them nauseous or makes them sick?
Ooh. Wow. Well, at least to their credit or discredit, depending on how you view it, at least that's a clinical thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you used to watch the show Good Times?
Yes.
Remember when the boy Mad Dog shot JJ?
Mm-hmm.
And remember how he beat the case, remember? And
I didn't remember that he beat the case.
Yeah, he beat the case, and James Evans was pissed. You know what I mean? Remember, James wanted to handle this gangster boy. And remember the boy's mom, because his real name was Cleon. Remember, she wasn't going to call him no mad dog. You know what I mean? She called Cleon, and she said to him how he wasn't raised to do the things that he was doing, and that she used to love him, but now she hates him. She says she can't stand him. She can't stand the sight of him.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, I wish your father was here, you know, because you probably wouldn't be this way. And, you know, the boy, Mad Dog Cleon, he went on to say, well, you know, he ain't here because he left us. He left you just like he left us. And, you know, it was a very emotional, you know, type of thing. But the part where she said that the way he is, his ways and actions disgust her. And even though it was just a reenactment, well, it was just a scene. There was a lot of truth in that scene. You know, the Chicago gang scene, especially back then in the 70s, off the chain. It's off the chain now. It ain't never slowed down. You know what I mean? But right. Imagine back then when there was rhyme or reason for it. Rhyme and reason for it. What she was saying to him probably outlined what a lot of mothers felt about their sons at that time. So, you know, you asking me about clinical depression and not wanting to be bothered with your kids in that way. It can also happen in other ways, you know, that where if it's clinical depression, it's not your children's fault. There are other scenarios where I won't say that it's the children's fault that they made their parents stop loving them, but things can happen to turn your love into something that doesn't resemble love.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Dunlap in the house. She says, did he beat the case really, or the system was just packed and there was no room? That's how he beat it. Remember, they ain't had no room in the jail. He walked. He walked. Remember the judge, the white judge, he was like, nah, man. You know, imagine that, though. Your son gets shot. That's attempted murder. And he survives, and you go to court to try to press charges, and he gets out on some old, the jails are too crowded for a murderer? I can see being too crowded for a drug dealer. I could see being too crowded for a shoplifter. I could see being too crowded for a prostitute or a pimp or a jaywalker or somebody who has too many tickets. Somebody who shot, you going to put a gangster with a gun on the streets because the jail? Shit. Good job, Norman Lear. Fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Shout out to all my brothers on lockdown, but not the ones who shot somebody. You know, we always quick to talk about free this one and free that one. I'm like, shit, fuck freeing him. Put some money on his book. that nigga might is where he need to be. Emily said, but I see where you're going. Good looking, but yeah, you know, like. Mad Dog, Cleon.
I forgot about that episode.
Yo, that episode was crazy. It shot JJ. You know, JJ was so skinny. I mean, you almost shot him away. He can't take a bullet. You know what I mean? For what he was working with back then. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Who fuck around and take a chunk out of JJ? Who bit JJ?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, man. Take Michael, man. Michael, he's shorter, but he got a little bit more meat, you know.
Yeah, Shoot him.
Like, you want to shoot JJ, just shoot him in the hand. You can shoot Michael in the thigh or something. JJ can't handle that. You know what I'm saying? but yeah, you know, the thought of them touching you makes you sick to your stomach. There are a lot of different ways that this shit can play out. Shit.
Yeah, but I'm
gonna give you one that you ain't ready for. That's what I'm gonna do.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna give you one that you ain't ready for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very in tune with nature, and I love animals. And I could never deal with a woman that mistreated animals. So let's say that you secretly did something to my cat, or I found out that you have mutilated or poisoned somebody's animal, you know, cat, dog, or something like that, just on some hate and shit. That would make me sick to my stomach. Like, I ain't fucking with nobody that would do no shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Nah, we good. We good. And by good, I mean bad. So, yeah, that would probably be something that would turn my stomach. Like, I find myself with somebody that would do some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. But there are people who have had to deal with it. They've had to deal with that shit. You know what I'm saying? They've had to deal with it.
That's horrible.
Exactly. And that person would probably be thinking like, so you don't want to deal with me no more over some stupid animal? That's not like a boy or a girl. It's not a child. Like, just because you don't get it doesn't make it any less important. I mean, get away from me. You don't respect God's creations. I ain't talking about squishing a bug or, you know, or putting up some fly tape, zapping mosquitoes. I'm talking about a mammal. You going to kill a mammal? Oh, nah, son. I eat meat, but come on. I ain't going to be there with you. You cut off the moo moo's head. No.
The moo moo.
You know what I'm saying?
No. See, anybody who would do that to an animal, you have to wonder what else they would be willing to do.
You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to. I wouldn't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a boyfriend who gripped up my dog. And I was like, I'm sorry. Can you please pass me that piece out of the top drawer? Because I was livid, you
mm-hmm.
know. And they saw it in my eyes, and they were like, oh, well, you know, he nipped me, and I was just trying to put the dog in a hold where they knew right then and there not to do that again. I was like, yeah, but you like. What you're doing is excessive. There's a way to discipline a dog. There are certain ways to do it. And what you're doing is unacceptable. So they knew not to do that, you know, around me.
Right.
And I would pay attention to my dog, my dog's behavior around them to see if it was continuing.
Mm-hmm.
But that made me very, very uneasy. And truth be told, no, we did not have sex for like a week or two, which for me is like a, you know, but especially back then, in my 20s.
Mm.
So I was just like, yeah, I'm, you know, so I didn't even think about that scenario. But
okay.
I was going to say, I was still going to, excuse me, talk about the parent and the kid thing when, you know, maybe it's not depression or anything clinical. Maybe the parent doesn't like the other parent, and so now when the kid tries to hold their hand or tries to hug them, the parent is nauseous or disgusted.
Ooh.
Because they seeing the parent through the child. Ooh.
Yeah. Or they're just so mad at the other parent, they don't even want to, you know,
well,
they're not
I'm
even
saying.
Really feeling the child like that.
Yeah, the child is symbolic of that other parent, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a toughie. And hopefully your parent would get past that. I mean, therapy for everybody, because no good can come out of that. That's an ugly program. That's a broken.
You know, when you look at the title of your show, most people would just automatically go to something romantic,
mm-hmm.
but there's so many other scenarios that this could relate to.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you ever find out that somebody that you really loved and respect was a Dallas Cowboys fan? You're like,
Nobody I love and respect is a Dallas Cowboys fan.
I'm just saying, it can happen. You know, people have had to deal with this shit. It's problems out here. Listen, I really appreciate you calling in. I really appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your perspective. You've been the consummate guest. I appreciate it. We got to get on.
No problem.
And do these birthday shout outs and get on the body here so you good people can finish your after Black Friday, your Black Saturday shopping.
For right now. So.
That's right. That's what's up. That's right. but thanks for calling in. You have a great day.
Okay.
Wonderful day.
You too. Thanks for having my lines open.
Please return. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Righty. That was great. Huh? Let's do these birthday shout-outs, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. November 25th, and they deserve to be acknowledged, so let's go up out our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Aisha Blount. Happy birthday to you. And also Colette Boyd, happy birthday to you. And April Leon Compton, happy birthday to you. And Queen Ebolyn, not Evelyn, Ebolyn. And also Delisha Williams, happy birthday to you. And Lorette Nosrekna. There we go. And also Charmaine Renard, go get a Charmaine Renard. Happy birthday to you. And Shardetta Bond, turning 49 years old today. And Barbara Ariate Ramos, happy birthday to you. And Cecilia Nasamiyu Matafara, happy birthday to you. And Lovey Walker, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my girl who grew up right down the street from me all the way back in the day in the 70s. And that would be my girl, Meredith Sanders. Meredith Sanders turning 55 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all. And I hope that today finds you all a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes out to each and every person out there born on this glorious November 25th. Anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I lock out. Lock on and do the dance. I lock out. Lock on and do the damn lock out. Lock on and do the dance. Thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, man, listen. They make it sick to your stomach. Wasn't always that way, but it is now. And it's about to go down. Don't touch me on my arm. Don't touch me on my leg. Don't touch me on my lips. Don't touch me on my head. Don't touch my hair. Don't put your hand on my shoulder. It was like that, but now I'm feeling colder. The older that I get, things are really getting bad. And I'm
when I see you, it really makes me mad, and I want to be on another level with you. But for me, you remind me of the devil too, and I can't get with you. And that thing that you, that I seen you be down with, and I think that somebody should always do you in, and you shouldn't ever get shit. Not no blessings, the mess that I seen you do, it makes me know that you gonna put people in a ruined state of mind. I find that the more that I see you, I don't want to see you no more, because you's a whore. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. for another Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Please hit the like button. Please share the show. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And do not hesitate to go ahead and put in a super chat. You can put in a super chat afterwards, or you can just donate a couple of dollars. It's the season. It's the season, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's Christmas time, darling. It's a holiday. It's a holiday, baby. Yo, Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the others. I said it's coming on through. See you on the others. Oh, shit. I'm looking for the show. I'm like, oh, it's on the phone. I keep forgetting, not on the screen no more.